Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 90. Oh, I think we got the same hat on today. You got your Altex on? Is that the Altex hat?
That's right.
Your mic on?
Yeah. Should be. Is it not?
You got your Altex hat on? I got mine on. Those guys, thanks, boys, for bringing them up.
That's right.
We got some lids today from Altex. We also got, man, I'll tell you what, it was a lot. I don't know what is with our teams in the late in games. Holy crap, last night. Up 25, they cut it to 4, 98-94. It's like, what are we doing? It was another, I thought the Rockets were out of that. They had a long stretch where they just couldn't play in the fourth quarter, and it's back now. Last night it was back. Man, they just, for whatever reason, they just let up or something happens to them offensively. They got so convoluted. They got so disorganized. And they just couldn't do anything. And then Atlanta goes on a run. Terrence Mann was nice. How do you pronounce Zachary's name? Reesacher? What is?
Oh, I don't know what is, yes, Reesacher.
I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Well, in Germany,
it's Reesacher.
But not in Germany.
Well, that's Reesacher. How they pronounce it.
Yeah, that's it. Reesacher.
But how not, he pronounces it.
German, we would say Reesacher.
I think he's from France.
Reesacher. Yeah, I know, but it sounds like a German name.
Well, yeah, but in Germany, if he travels to Germany, then they say Reesacher.
Reesacher.
Reesacher is his name. So anyway,
he's got some talent.
Nice. Yeah.
Is John there?
So your video is way behind. Something is going on with his video, Del, that is way behind.
Well, just listen to me then. My audio's okay, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, don't forget.
Yeah, the audio's fine. Yeah.
But no, he's good. He can play.
And what happened to Dell on the video? Everybody's going to miss him. Twitch loves Dell, and he's not on there.
Well, we had an issue, so it's either I restart the stream or I wait
for
the break.
It. You're getting too easily distracted.
Yeah, I mean,
do it for the radio people, not the 17 people on video right now.
I mean,
now.
I'm waiting for the break to fix it, but if I don't, I got to close down the entire stream.
He's restarting it. What'd you think of the game?
The cat is being distracted by the silver stuff.
Stop looking at your laptop.
I know.
Well, I can't because this is how we do a show. So we could see each other and do the show.
Gonna have to work through it.
Just listen. Just listen.
Nice job, Del.
You did radio lots without having to see.
No, I never did radio without.
Well, so here's the problem.
So
they give up 40 points in the fourth quarter. They break. There's a bunch of defensive breakdowns. What I hate about it though is that you ended up having players play. You had a 40-minute game from I think it was Jalen. You have 38. You have starters going deep into that one. That was so dumb. Well, it's not dumb from, like, you ended up having to hang on to the game, but that should have been the game. Like, you were cruising at halftime. That whole game was a cruise. All you had to do was handle your business, and you start rolling in the bench, and you get your starters end up playing 31 minutes, 30 minutes, 31 minutes, 32 minutes, and you're good. Instead, you have to roll them to extended minutes. That should never happen when you got a 25-point lead in the second half.
Yeah. 38 for Şengün, 39 for Fred VanVleet, 41 for Jalen.
41
minutes. 41 minutes for Jalen. Well, he was the best player on the floor last night. 14 of 24. He didn't shoot the three well, but man, he was driving. He came up with two beautiful little 4-foot jumpers when they cut it to 98-94. The next two baskets were Jalen's, and then they were able to open it back up. Jabari hit a three, but those two little near the baseline 4-footers were just gorgeous, just awesome, and needed them at the worst time. He had Jalen had 11 rebounds. He did have 4 assists with 5 turnovers, but that's the kind of game. Jalen's been pretty inconsistent again. That's the kind of game that he needed. 14 to 24 is pretty damn efficient, so that's pretty good. He's got to keep doing that. He was really athletic. He took 7 threes that he maybe shouldn't have made. 7 isn't a bad number. But he couldn't hit the threes yesterday, but he played when they needed him most. Yeah, cutting it to 98-94 was like, what are we doing, guys? I mean, a 25-point lead and you cut it to 98-94. That is. Oh, they got through it. They've got Utah now, and Utah is really really not good. So you got. Let's see. I think Utah's next. Who's next?
Yeah,
Utah. At Utah.
You got two of them left with Utah.
And then
Utah.
At Phoenix.
Yeah. And you're in good shape. You're in good shape right now. You're handling your business. They didn't finish it the way they needed to, but they're still sitting there in the catbird seat at number one and really just need to play good, not great basketball the rest of the way to secure number two.
Yeah. Yeah, Utah. You got Phoenix and the Lakers at Phoenix at Utah at Phoenix at the Lakers. Not a tough little stretch there. Phoenix is playing good basketball right now without Bradley Beal. They're just better.
Imagine that.
The record. They're like 11-3. 11-3 when Durant and Booker play without Beal.
How about that? If you didn't try to just collect talent, that's so played out. Hopefully, Phoenix is the last time we see people who just and it's not where you think. Well, if we throw enough. Star level talent. No, there's only so many basketballs. There's only so much flow you can get into when you have three guys. It's just not a. It's not a workable system to go three guys deep, who all are number one caliber players. It's not going to work. You can't do it. So,
yep.
I mean that's on them. They made the trade, so Phoenix is pretty much dead in the water. They're not going to ever be anything because they can't put it together, and they don't have enough. But they are a heckler, and they are playing good basketball, as you mentioned right now. So they beat the Bucks the other day, a 2-point win. But they've won. They're in a nice little run right now. The Suns are, but so are the Rockets. The Rockets are on a really good run from a record standpoint. And Rockets are one of the hottest teams in the NBA right now.
Yep, they're playing good. Well, the schedule was certainly helpful. And we'll see if they can't. You know, Denver came in here, slapped him around, but you got a 2-game lead on Denver now. So, after Denver came in here, they lost. The Rockets win a couple of games, so you got a 2-game lead on the Nuggets, which is nice because you're going to need a little padding. You got 9 games left, and those games ain't going to be easy. Despite Utah at Phoenix, at Los Angeles, then Utah again back here. Now, you lost at Utah last time out, so you can't lay another egg like you did last time. You got to go in there and slap that team around. They are really, really bad. There was a highlight. KJ Martin in the corner maybe threw up one of the worst threes that you've ever seen. There was a highlight of him. It was just a unbelievably bad. First of all, KJ Martin is still around, but he threw up one of the worst. And then he's rubbing his shorts as he's running up the court. Oh, that ball slipped. Nah, that was just really, really, really terrible, mm-hmm. KJ. So you got the next four. I think you got two Utah, so hopefully you at least take two out of four, maybe 3 out of 4. Oklahoma City back here. And then a rough run at Golden State, at the Clippers, at the Lakers, and then Denver back here to finish up the season. There's a lot of basketball still to be played, whether or not, and a lot of seeding that'll be decided.
Yeah, you got to win those Utah. You know, the Utah games have to be W's. You got to build you got to build enough cushion that you're in good shape.
Yep, absolutely. How about, so just some other news as we get going here this morning, if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. Steph, I mean, Diggs getting $69 million, and only $29 was guaranteed. Do you think he plays out the 3 years in New England?
No, I thought that was not a great contract. That was pretty surprising to me. A guy coming off an ACL. Have you seen the – now, Joe Shad had stats where they showed his PFF grade, which, whatever, I don't care about that. But then they showed his yards per attempt – I mean, his yards per catch. They showed his touchdown numbers. I wanted to say there was three stats, but – and it showed a decline over the last 3 years. Now, from a touchdown standpoint, we know he didn't play as many games last year. But from yards per catch, it's real. It went from 13-something to 11-something to 10-something last year. You're getting an aging wide receiver, one who has some baggage from an attitude standpoint. He wears out his welcome wherever he goes. I don't think that happened with the Texans. I never heard anything. But, you know, he was only here for a year, and he got everything the way he wanted.
No, apparently he was a very good citizen.
Yeah, he got everything the way he wanted it. He wanted his contract voided, and he got his contract voided. You know what? He ended up making money. He ended up making money because of it.
He had a good quarterback, and he was winning football games. He had a good quarterback. He's not going to win.
He was winning quarterbacks.
His first explosion on Drake May.
John, he was winning games and had a good quarterback at Buffalo and was miserable.
Yeah.
So it's not like that's, you know. Yeah, and with Drake May, he'll get frustrated. Like, I don't know. We'll see what happens at the end of his career. But I was surprised I wouldn't have given him that contract. Coming off an ACL, it makes it even worse. I was really surprised.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal is New England's got to overpay. That's all. I mean, you got to pay people to go there. And but I'm seeing, they got their wide receiver one. Is he wide receiver one?
No, he's not wide receiver one anymore. He's wide receiver two. Yeah. You get enough wide receiver twos, you're in good shape. But, no, he's not a wide receiver one. He's 31, coming off an ACL, and he's declining. He doesn't get down the field. He's a possession receiver. Yeah. Well, he actually has been a possession receiver for actually quite a few years now. He's more of a target guy than he is an explosive playmaker. So, I mean, but it's New England. They're just trying to get better. He's going to... You know, that's anonymity for him. He's done. His career is over. He'll go to New England. Drake May will have his ups and downs. They'll struggle. They're not going to be factors in the AFC. I don't think they'll be a factor in the time that Stephon Diggs is there. I think he'll play there for 2 years, and then that'll be that for Stephon Diggs.
Hey, give me $69 million to go disappear and walk away. I call it Cully money. I call it Cully.
Well, John, NBA.
Give me all that money, and I'll walk into the sunset.
Name an NFL contract you wouldn't do that for. You'd do it for all of them.
Yeah. I mean, a non-drafted free agent? Maybe not. I'm not walking onto the sunset for that. But
any three-year deal where so much of it's guaranteed, you are, for sure.
Right.
Over the cap does not have all the actual specifics. I'm looking for
it's 69, 3 years, 69, 29 guaranteed.
Well, because see, this says 4 years, 69. I'm trying to get the exact data from this and what. It really doesn't matter. I don't even know why I'm spending time on
3 years, 69. I got Diggs agreed to a 3 year, $69 million contract. With 26 guaranteed. 26, not 29. 26 guaranteed. That's what Adam Schefter reported. Three years, 69.
Now, I was trying to look at the construct, how it's constructed, because SpotTrack has it at 4, so maybe they've got, but once again, it doesn't matter. Doesn't bother our cap. I don't even care what they do. I don't even care. Well, SpotTrack actually gets the actual contracts in the NFLPA. So I usually go Schefter too, but when SpotTrack has something, they get into the NFLPA. So there's a portal that NFL agents can get into where they look at all the contracts. Like, you have access to every contract if you're an agent. You just have to go through the portal. That's how my buddy did Vince Young's contract, his initial contract. He did it for Major Adams, and Rodney just went and studied every contract that was in the NFL, NFLPA basically in the vault. So, yeah, he is It says 4 years, $69 million deal, including $25 million guaranteed, an average annual salary of 17.25. So I don't know which one it is. Schefter's got something different than what this, you know, than what this, this. But the regardless, he made more money than he gave away, right?
Well, if it's 23, he made more. If not, 17 is right in the same neighborhood. He was actually probably, I thought it was 18 when he that he gave up. So that's, I mean, it's neighborhood.
Well, I mean, it's good for him to get it back.
Year, if it's a 3 year deal, he made more than he gave up. So
well, depending on how much it's guaranteed.
Right. Well, yeah, we'll see if he plays it out. We got a break. When we come back, Cam Smith makes the team, and we'll see. We got some interesting stuff about that. When we come back right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, let's talk right now about Chastain Ford. Let's talk right now about you getting a square deal, about you getting a deal where you feel good about it, getting a deal where they're not adding on, where they're not marking up, where they're not just trying to gouge you for every penny that they can get out of you, where you can do it all online, where the other dealerships won't let you do it all online because they want you in there. They want to sell you that nitrogen in the tires. They want to sell you the leather seats and the tinted windows and everything else that they can add on so that it just keeps rising and the price of the truck or car keeps on rising and rising. It's truck month there right now. Chastain Ford's trying to give you as much as they possibly can, $6,500 off. The 2024 F-150s, the Super Duties, you're getting $3,500 off, or $3,000 rather, off on those, plus the Chastain discounts. Chastain's doing everything they can to get you in that vehicle so that you're having a great experience, okay, so that you go back again, so that you will be a return customer. I've been a return customer. I bought 4 cars from them, and I will continue to buy my cars because I love the way that they do business. You'll love the way they do business, too. ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown. Chastain Ford. Okay, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Cam Smith made the team yesterday. And when Joe Espada announced it, everybody was in the clubhouse, all the guys, and he called Cam Smith's mom and dad, and he said, we're going to need to bring somebody in. Called mom and dad. Mom and dad walked into the locker room.
He had a whole little trick set up.
Little ceremony.
Yeah, a little
ceremony
trick. He was tricking him.
Yeah, he was tricking him. His mom walked in. Mom and dad walked in, and Cam was announced that he made the team. And Cam broke down, and he was bawling. And he
bawling.
His mom. He's hugged his mom. Hugged his dad.
Continued to cry for several minutes more.
Yeah. He cried and cried. He got a smattering of applause. It wasn't very enthusiastic.
It was weird. I don't know what I was thinking. I thought, you know, I guess I'm used to seeing, it's usually the non-scholarship players who get scholarships and the place erupts,
totally,
you know,
different.
When there's a... And the whole locker room will erupt when they find out that this, you know, walk-on is getting a scholarship. That's usually when we hear these, where the coaches, the manager or the coaches talking before the team and he's getting ready to make that kind of big announcement and everyone erupts. He did this with Cam and it's like, no, it was crickets.
Well, there's a lot of guys in there, okay, great, I'm cut. So
cool.
That's totally different, totally different. First of all, that the walk-on's been with the team for
I know it's different. I'm just used to that scenario.
It's totally different. It's totally different. So, I mean, you're talking about apples and oranges because
I know.
These guys have known Cam Smith for 5 weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
Not even. And by the way, he's taken a job. I can certainly say it's pros. I want to tell you, it was totally different going from high school football to college football as far as camaraderie goes, as far as, parents, relationships with coaches, relationships with other parents on the team. Totally different. It is because there's money involved, there's scholarships involved, and going from to major leagues. Those guys don't give a rat's ass. You know, most of these call-ups that you see, and you see the minor league coach saying, "Hey, come into my office. We got to talk."
That's a really big deal.
And he tells the kid he's going up to the major leagues. Really big deal, but it's usually just family. Just family. Because then he calls dad, he calls mom, "I'm going to the big leagues." He's crying, you know, all of that stuff. You rarely see, we haven't seen it anyway, much of this, where Joe, where he makes the announcement in front of the rest of the players, right? And I think it was, yeah, they gave him applause. All right, way to go, kid. He couldn't stop crying.
He came out into the dugout to come speak, and he still had tears streaming down his face. Like, dude, you're the number one prospect. You ranked all. It's already been out there that you were going to make the team. But it's an emotional moment. That was cool for him. It's nothing to get too fussy about. But I just will say that it was a little bit jarring to see no one seem to care, because I'm just used to when announcements are made, you know, guys seem to care. And I've seen it where minor leaguers get called up in front of the team and the whole team celebrates with them, even though there's probably some jealous ones. But there's others that really – but you're right. They don't really know this guy. For some guys, they're trying to make the team, and they're sitting there in the room and finding out, well, good for Cam. That's awesome. It was just it was a cool moment.
The thing about this is, he was highly emotional. The thing about this is he's the 14th overall pick last year's draft. He only played 30 – he played 32 minor league games.
Good. That's how good he is.
It's one of the quickest call-ups, you know, ever.
For an Astro, I don't know that we've ever seen a quicker call-up.
I don't think
so. You'd have to go back to, like, Cesar Cedeno in the 70s.
Right, right. I mean, it usually – and the Astros are a team that drags its feet. But they need Cam Smith. This is 2 years ago, three years ago, they would never bring him up now. Never. Because they're set. You don't need a guy. Or you wouldn't have brought him up when they sucked either, because, we're not going to – look how long they took to bring George Springer up. He was their number one guy. Right now, they need him. They need Cam Smith badly. Without Cam Smith, that outfield is not good. I don't want to call people trash, but it's one of the worst outfields in Major League Baseball without Cam Smith. So they got to have this kid. They need this, and they need him to play well. We got him. You mentioned he was in the dugout. We got sound from him. Here is Cam has still got tears on his face. He's still and the media met him and asked him what all of this means to him, being called up so soon, and just being joining the Astros just this offseason and now being called up.
Amazing, amazing. I said there's no bad days in Dinkin Park, and I'm going to be able to live that out, you know, starting Thursday. So I can't wait. I can't wait. Bring it on.
A lot's happened. Today alone, a lot's happened. Will it help to have tomorrow to kind of digest before you get out there? Because I know you want to succeed and you want to help this team a great deal.
Yeah, 100%. Just to get my feet under myself and to realize that, you know, I'm an Astro now. So it's go time.
It's go time. It is go time. You know, he had the triple, and he homered his one homer off of the, what was it, Mets pitcher that was a real major league pitcher, because he had homered a few times off of guys that were not major league quality talent. He went to right field. He went to right field with it. He hit it to right field. He was slow on that. The other night, he hit a triple right down the third base line. That's great that he goes the other way, but I don't know that it's on purpose that he's going the other way. He we'll find out whether or not that major league fastball is going to be a little bit too much for him.
If it's too much for him, he's going to fail as a prospect.
Yeah.
If you can't hit a major league fastball, he will be a flame out. So
yeah,
hopefully that's not
obviously, because they will bring that heat against him, and
he'll see 98 every game. That's it.
We'll see. My guess is he can handle that. I don't want to say anything negative about him because I don't want to get the same treatment you gave Jeremy Branham yesterday.
Well, look, that's why I've
and
got
Jeremy,
my
by the
on
way,
today.
Jeremy, by the way, retweeted out your response to his tweet, which was you've given him double rods.
Right, that's right. Sometimes you deserve it.
Feel bad that you made a fellow a colleague feel the way that he did yesterday?
I don't think he feels that way. He's frequently looking for engagement. I think that's part of his plan, to be honest with you.
You think he?
Look at his tweets. You've gotten fired up at stuff he's tweeted before.
So you're calling him? You're calling him Littlefinger because he loves chaos?
No, I think he likes to farm engagement. I think he would admit that. I mean, you see his page. You've brought it to the show before. You know that.
Yeah.
He says stuff that makes people mad. I don't think that was an intentional one because I didn't even see it. You said you heard it, I guess?
No, I saw it. I saw his
tweet. He tweeted that.
No.
The Jose Altuve comment was something he said on the show, right?
No, he tweeted it. But you said that he said it.
So he tweeted, "How can we trust?"
No, he pretty much said Peña. Well, Jose Altuve said Peña would be great. He tweeted that. John brought it to the show. I guess John initially said that he said it, but he tweeted. He might even said it on the
said it on Twitter. He said it on Twitter.
He said it on Twitter. Okay.
He said it on Twitter. He said. Well, that's an okay. So that's engagement. Altuve also said that Jeremy Peña was going to be a star.
Yeah, so it's an anti-Cam Smith thing. It's meant to get a reaction, and he got me. What do you want me to say? He got me.
You got God.
I got Branham.
Well, I've never.
You've been Branham.
I've been Branham. I got Branham. I did. I got Branham.
Can we make that a catchphrase here?
Yes,
you've been Branham.
When he intentionally does his troll tweets, I got Branham. I'll admit it. He got me. What do you want me to do? I'm admitting it right here on the show.
I don't think it was an anti-Cam Smith thing. I don't think it was an anti-Altuve thing. Altuve calls everybody a star.
Can't trust his opinion.
Well, you can't trust his opinion on Cam Smith.
Or anyone, because he's always like sunshiny and puppy dogs and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, anti-Altuve in Houston, that's not a trolley comment to make. Well, we're the ones who back Altuve on everything because he is a saint. And Jeremy Branham takes a little shot at him. I got Branham. What do you want me to say? I'm admitting it. You win. John, you win. Branham, you win. I got Branham. Dell, you win.
I didn't win. I didn't want you to get Branham.
America won.
I don't get Branham. I hope others don't. So I wasn't rooting for
you to
get Branham.
You don't get Branham. But guess what? I'm wearing these today, so I can't be Branham.
Is that about the globe, the sun in your eyes?
What's it about? It's a big part of
blocking
it.
Blocking the haters?
I'm unbothered.
Yeah, I proved that point yesterday. I'm unbothered. I wear my glasses when I'm unbothered.
Yeah, Dell wore his when he's unbothered. I'm unbothered today. You can't bother me with Jeremy Branham can't tweet anything.
You're
that's
unbothered
going to bother
today. The only I didn't know that Brisket and Branham would trigger you like that.
The killer bees.
Okay?
And the Branham thing really
bees.
Shouldn't have.
They're
I must have just been
bees.
In a bad mood yesterday because the Branham thing shouldn't have even made me that mad.
But you said you came in happy.
I did. We extended a lead in the division without even playing. Well, I say a lead on the two spot.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you think
now Cam made the team? I'm happy about that too. I'm not going to be bothered. You can't Branham me today. I'm sorry, boys.
We will see.
It's not a challenge.
I'm not trying.
It's not a challenge.
John wasn't trying yesterday. I'm just saying.
But you've Branhamed me before. It's not happening today.
No, you've been Olalayed is what I say.
No, when you do that, it's called Branham.
Not when I do it. I do it, I'm not looking for engagement. I'm just looking to bother one person specifically, and that's you.
That's Branham.
No, he's looking for an entire group to come at him. I'm just looking to bother you. You've been Olalayed.
No, you're not going to let you have your own thing. You're biting off Jeremy Branham.
No, I'm not. You tried to put me in this category.
Hey.
I get after one guy, not an entire group.
It's better than being ball sacked like I was, okay?
Well, that sounds
being
terrible.
Being Branham is much better than ball sacked.
That happened in college?
Oh.
No, it happened right here.
He's trying to Branham you, John.
Right, I know he is. We got a break. You got a
He was experimenting with a different website.
His name is Lachlan.
He was Lachlan.
Lachlan and Saxon. That's what they called him in college.
Oh, no.
It's a White Lotus reference.
Oh, no. He's doing a White Lotus thing there. Don't.
I don't know what
Just
that
don't
means,
watch it, John. Just don't watch this season.
I don't want it.
I mean, they always have girls in it that will make you – they try to trap you into watching.
They do trap you. Why don't you talk about Zadik Chulis?
Look, there's good decisions that are made and there's bad decisions that are made. Sometimes a bad decision requires a good decision, like going to Zadik Chulis. Sometimes you just go straight good decisions, like for Mother's Day, for Valentine's Day, for – you know, for a birthday, an anniversary, special occasions. Zadig Jewelers is a great spot for special occasions. They turn the special occasion into a special occasion. And, you know, one of the things that you can really do to screw up is take a special occasion, a 20-year anniversary, right, 10-year anniversary. Your wife gives birth to your first child and not celebrate it. And that's something that you should celebrate as thanks for, you know, everything that, that she does for you and everything she's given to you and maybe sacrificed, whatever the case may be. Acknowledge it at Zadig Jewelers. Or maybe you just want to do something because you love that person. And that's great, too. Maybe you love yourself and you want to get yourself a luxury watch from one of the top brands in the entire world. They have luxury watches that they buy, sell, and trade at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. And these watches are incredible. Wow. When you stop in and you see what they have available, how they look, you learn the history of them, you learn the precision of the timepieces. It's incredible. They have master craftsmen in store who are certified to work on all these different varieties of watches as well. It is a huge location with unbelievably talented people that work there, and they will help you stay in your budget to find the perfect gift: diamond bracelet, engagement ring, pendants, earrings, necklace, whatever you're looking for, they've got at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard at Zadig.com.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we talked about the Rockets. Rockets win last night. Nice job. Although the fourth quarter was, can't have it. They're just not going to win big games with playing like that in the fourth quarter. They just got to get better. Got to do that. We talked about Cam Smith coming up. We talked about Steph Diggs. We haven't talked about the Cougs. And we got a couple of sound bites. And it's in regards to the fan base. I think we talked about this. I mentioned it yesterday. I think in Wichita, it wasn't great. This is a great basketball team that has a chance to win a national title. They supported this team really well. I think the arena is perfect for them. It holds about 7,000. They fill it up. Very enthusiastic fans. Great fans, but it's a limited number. Sorry, Cougs fans, but this has been forever. This is how it is. It's just not like big time college basketball teams who follow their teams and are diehard and go anywhere and will do anything. It's just not that. So Jaywan and met the media, and Malik Wilson as well. Jaywan was asking about, you know, how about the support that you get from the Coug fans and going to Indianapolis and playing Purdue. It's going to be predominantly Purdue. Here's Jaywan talking about the Coug fans and showing up for the games.
The fans are great, and especially when we played in Futita. You know, I feel like our support system is awesome. So. Just going out there and seeing, you know, Cougar Red, it just shows how much support and how much love and want, you know, that they want us to win. So just seeing, even if it's a small portion, you know, there's always a group of people that want to see us do great. So, if you can make it, you can. You can't, you know, we know you're supporting from the outside looking in. So everything is, you know, appreciated.
You know, that's a great answer. He said, even if it's a small amount of people, you know, that's great. If you can, make it, come on. If you can't, that's great, too. Support us from wherever. Support us from Houston.
John, you wouldn't know this because you weren't in Houston. Most of you wouldn't know this. Only some of you wouldn't even know this. A small percentage of listeners. This has been a fight for University of Houston since my dad coached college football there. And I mean the early years. A little less so in the earliest when they came to the Southwest Conference in 78. Actually, they came in 77. Yeah. His first year, 78. We would have conversations in my car. My mom and dad would talk about it, and I'm just a kid in the car. And they would be talking about the amount of people in the stadium at the football games. And this has been an ongoing issue for University of Houston and a storyline
forever,
for over four decades. And it's never going to change. It's more of a commuter school and all this stuff. Like it's to the point where I don't want it to overshadow what actually the product is. The only thing that matters is how these guys do. I wish it were packed all the time. I wish we traveled as Houston, you know, as fans here in Houston. I wish we filled up road arenas at, you know, at a Final Four at a clip of, you know, 10,000 or whatever. But and my mom and my grandma went to two Final Fours. They went to New Mexico and they went to the New Orleans to watch University of Houston. And there were plenty of Houston fans who traveled. But it's always going to be an issue. And that's why I never wanted to override it, but it's just something Houston's never going to be able to get away from because it's a unique situation.
Yeah, I've been here for 30 years. I know the story. I mean, I wasn't.
No, I'm just saying it was into the 70s.
I've talked about this with a lot of people, and it is what it is, and it's not going to change. It's not going to change.
Like it keeps coming up as a storyline. It's never changing.
Yeah,
it's never changing.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the point of it, though. And Malik Wilson addressed it because he was asked about, you know, you're going to Indianapolis, right? And, you know, you play Purdue is in Indiana, so this is basically going to be a road game. And Malik said, that's okay.
I mean, yeah, you know, they're going to have home court advantage, but, you know, we feel like we're the best winning team in the country. You know, we've been winning all year on the road, so it's gonna be even tougher now, you know, because the arena is gonna be bigger. They're gonna have a lot of fans in there, but we just gotta play to how we play and play to our culture, and you know, we'll be fine.
What do you attribute that success on the road for you guys this season?
And just coming together, just being one, you know, those early mornings do for us, you know, being on the field with each other, just, you know, going through the grind with each other, and this is what these moments made for. You know, just sticking together when things get tough. You know, that's why I feel like, you know, we were the best road team in the country.
Yeah,
they were. I mean, you go undefeated in the Big 12 on the road. That's
they're built
awesome.
For it. I mean, they're built to avoid it. But I mean, it is an unusual scenario where one of the four teams who's the lowest seeded of the four has a regional home court advantage. That's a little strange.
I'm not crazy. I don't know that the committee could have done anything. I guess they could have put Purdue in another regional.
Yeah, put Purdue somewhere else. I mean, they had the regional bubble idea, but
yeah.
I don't love it. I mean, Tennessee, look, the travel from Tennessee, those schools, Tennessee and Kentucky can get there easier in terms of driving. There's drives that can be made. Driving from Houston to Indianapolis is a long one if you can't afford to fly. So, and the flights are too expensive now for most people to really be able to afford. Yeah. So, you know, you can get in a car and drive. I mean, you can get it done in a day. It's not the easiest drive to make, but you can get it done if you want to. But for Purdue, it is regional. It's a regional home court advantage. Just about buying the tickets, you can go in and out same day if you're at Purdue, which is a big advantage for them. But I don't know that it's going to make, you know. It's also four fan bases. Now, here's the thing. Tennessee and Kentucky, depends on how many of those fans are in their seats and coming up, and they're probably cheering against Houston because Houston's the one seed. So everyone's going to be cheering for Houston to lose. And that's just the truth. They're all going to cheer for Houston to lose because you don't want to face Houston. You know, I wouldn't want to face Houston. I'd want Houston. I mean, I'd be cheering. If I were a Tennessee fan or a Kentucky fan, man, I'm cheering hard for Purdue. If I'm any fan in the nation, I want Purdue to win. Because you don't want Houston to move on.
No. You absolutely don't. Yeah, I'm seeing one way to Indy on, let's see, on Thursday. It's 4:57 from United. 4:57.
One way? How are you getting back?
Well, you get the return.
Do you think Juwan had a different thought about the fans showing up than heard your plight and then realized, okay, yeah, it's kind of tough. So I was a little upset, but I realized the plight of Lance and others. So
yeah.
I get it. I get
round trip tickets.
If you can show up, no. If you can show up, great. But if not, so be it. I understand.
That one coming
bucks.
Back is a mother too. They don't give you any. You have to stay a long time to be able to. I think until Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday. That's a long stay for fans.
I got the round
hotel.
Trip Friday to Monday, 900.
Yeah, that's a lot, man. Yeah, that is a lot. If you got to get hotels and and game and buy game tickets and food and beverage, you're looking at,
and you're generally not going alone. So
no, you're not going to go alone. So you're looking at about a $4,000. That's about $4,000 trip for one. You know, for hopefully two games. Hopefully two games. Because if not, what are you doing? You staying the whole time and flying back, as if you play. You know, God forbid they get upset.
Two tickets you get. That's a good $5,000 trip.
Yeah,
with hotel.
That's a lot, man. That's for one set, and that's not even Final Four. That's not even Well, it potentially is an Elite Eight game. Yeah,
and then of course, are you going to the Final Four? Or you tap it out at the Elite Eight.
You can drive there if you want to just go straight. It's a 15.5-hour drive. Pretty sporty.
You can do that? Well, that's something you could do.
You could drive. It's long. I've made a drive that long in one shot before from South Carolina to Houston. It took about that long, but this sucker's long right here. Woo! Sing it.
You know what?
Let me see how long the flight is from Purdue to Indian. Where's Purdue?
West Lafayette.
Yeah, how much is that flight from West Lafayette to Indianapolis?
What is it, like a 70?
How long is that flight?
70-mile drive or something like that? How long?
Yeah, it's
less than 2 hours. Yeah, it's less than 2 hours. Yeah, that is. You're the four seed, and you got the home court advantage. That's not great.
It's an hour and 9 minutes. You're right. An hour and 9 minute drive costs you $0 to get there.
No.
$0. And by the way, I can't remember what time is the game. Oh, late game. So you're probably not driving back same.
Yeah,
time.
But even if you're sad as a Purdue fan after a Sweet 16 loss, you can be back in your bed. What?
No.
By 1 a.m.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 1 a.m.
back. It's only
even if
an
you're
hour.
Sad, or you can just sleep in your car.
It's like It's like going to Conroe. You're not going to sleep there. You're going to
just go home.
Actually, yeah. You're right.
You're just going to go home.
Yeah. You're right. That's like you're right. That's like going out.
The ride from my house to this place every morning is 45 minutes.
It's like Beaumont.
I would just go home.
It's like Beaumont at worst.
Yeah. Not even.
And you would not never even. Think of getting a hotel.
Well,
there.
It will be getting out of there. It'll be.
Yeah, there'll be a little more traffic.
Yeah. But actually, it's not. Terrible. It's not terrible there. You can park an offset lot.
Yeah,
Tennessee
and Kentucky people might be gone. Yeah, you'll be fine. They might have been already. They might have already taken off and gone.
Yeah, they're
home
the first
the
game aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah. So it's a big
That's
advantage.
True.
For
half
Purdue
the stadium.
Fans.
Yeah. Half. Well. You know, the team that won probably hangs out.
They're going to enjoy it. Yeah, it's going to be a good time for them.
They want to see who they're going to play. Hey, we are the golf capital of the world right now. This month. Are you kidding me? We got the Houston Open this week, and we got the Chevron Championship coming up. And Chevron Championship, I mean, they donate money. They're donating it to teachers in the Woodlands area. How great is that? The Chevron is doing that. April 24th through the 27th, the Chevron Championship is coming here. It's the first major of the year. Who's going to see who's going to bring home the Dinosaur Trophy that is the champion of the Chevron Championship. There's all kinds of events around it. There are great, tents that you can go to thechevronchampionship.com and buy tickets. You can just get, you know, walking passes where you're out there and you're following the golfers out there, or you can get, you know, into these nice, wonderful tents that have food and drink and everything else. I mean, you decide the way how you want to do it. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful golf course, the club at Carlton Woods in the Woodlands. It's the Nicholas course, designed by Jack Nicklaus. It is just so nice. It's going to be pristine. It's perfect. Bring your daughters out there. Bring your sons out there. Let them see golf at the highest level. The Chevron Championship, April 24th through the 27th. I'm telling you, it's a great event. The first major of the year, thechevronchampionship.com. All right, so the portal was the basketball portal was a big topic of conversation yesterday because it opened up. And now it's opening up during, and this is the same thing that happened for football. The portal opens up during the playoffs, and you're like, what the bleep are we doing? What are we doing? We got guys that are, you know, playing and possibly transferring, and they're behind. The teams that are alive are still behind. Because they can't, you know what, they got to focus on playing. We got sound from Tom Izzo. And you want to talk about pissed off. Tom Izzo is in the Sweet 16 right now. And here comes the portal. Tom Izzo his team. Okay, so there is a graphic here. I'm looking at a graphic of how many of your top eight players, that as far as time, how much time they play, how, where they're from. Okay, the top seven players for Michigan State all started at Michigan State. They've got one transfer that's the eighth man. Purdue has not one transfer, not one transfer in their eight, in their top eight. The Cougs, their top two players are actually transfers, L.J. Crier and Milo Zuzan.
Where did Crier come from?
Baylor.
That's right. Because they typically come here pretty quick, like after,
yeah,
just like Quentin Grimes came after 1 year at Kansas.
Well, no, but he was 3 years at Baylor, and then he came here the last 2 years.
He was three years at Baylor. Wow.
U of H has five of their top eight started at U of H. Alabama, you don't see an Alabama player that started there until their fifth most played guy. And then they only have two. Their fifth guy and their eighth guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Duke, four of their top five were started at Duke. Texas Tech has one guy. Their third most played player actually started at Texas Tech. Otherwise, every other guy is a transfer. Of course, they change coaches, right? So Ole Miss is a lot the same way. Chris Beard came in, and he has two players, the third most played player and the eighth most played player. But Tom Izzo, he's seven of his top eight. Tom Izzo said, listen, y'all can open up the transfer portal, but I ain't playing your game. Here's Tom Izzo.
But what my team's done has been incredible. And I'm not ready to move on. So, Judd, I followed what you said. You know, I'm going to worry today about the guys I got in this program that have done an incredible job this year, and that's it. And if that costs me later, so be it. But Tom Izzo isn't cheating the people that he has that have been loyal to him for this chaos that is going on out there. Is that cool? You got enough? No. Because you don't understand. When I came back Sunday night, that was it. There was nothing on my mind but giving these guys a chance to win one more game, get to Elite Eight, and one more game, and have a memory that'll last their entire life, their kids' life, and their grandkids' life. Because that's what it is. And so excuse me for being passionate about it or pissed off about it, whichever words you want to use, but I'm not going to talk about it because it's not fair. It's not fair to the people. You could say it's fair to your program. I'll run my program like I want to run my program. And people have a disagreement with that, God bless them. But these guys that gave me everything they could give me are going to have a chance. And I'm not going to screw it up by spending any time on other stuff other than, you know, I don't eat, I don't sleep right now, so why in the hell would I do something else that might benefit me a year from now? And really, it's not going to benefit me now because I don't know what I have. I don't know how much money I have. I don't know which players are leaving or staying. I don't have any idea. So why would I do that? Waste of time.
That is a great quote. And it's so poorly done. I mean, one of the first things I saw Dana last week, and we were talking about it, and he's like, well, "We got to change this thing, man. We just got to change it. They got to have one portal, a couple 3 weeks. That's fine, whatever you do. But one portal, doing it in the middle of the playoffs, it's terrible. And you don't know what you got. You got to know what you got, what you need, and who you got." He's absolutely right. It is a terrible, terrible – the NCAA could not have been worse at this whole thing trying to setting it up. They did nothing. They sat on their hands. Emmert was the worst leader you could have possibly had when all of this NIL and the portal came through. couldn't have been worse. And now all of these coaches are feeling it. You got all of these 16 teams that are sitting there. How do you know who's coming? You don't have any idea who you're going to go and who you're going to try to get and what you're going to need. It's stupid. The whole thing is stupid. Anyway.
Yeah. I think it happened at a highly unusual time societally as well in 2020, where a lot of things were in disarray. There was a lot of people, frankly, afraid to move in college sports because it was a it was a different time now. There were a lot of coaches that lost jobs or almost lost jobs. Some of them, you know, they probably, I guess, should have some of the things that were said. You remember Isaac Texas was almost eliminated, it felt like, for the University of Texas. There was a lot, and no one wanted to say no to anything involving college athletes. And it all happened at a time. I think had it happened at a different time, there probably would have been guardrails, and there would have been people saying, no, we're not going to do it like this. But it almost felt like there was a fear of saying no to anything, and everything was retracted, and you could do whatever you wanted because no one wanted to be known as being, you know, racist. No one wanted to be known as being unfair to the student athlete. And what happened was it was given a very wide berth. And they always say you can't put the genie back in the bottle. That's a problem. Is it didn't happen at the proper rate. It didn't build at a rate. And so, you have problems
now.
There was
no leadership involved.
No,
there was
no
rules.
There was nothing. And the NCAA got their asses kicked. They got the Supreme Court blistered them, a full sweep of. And the NCAA basically said, "Well, we're done. We're not getting sued again because we're not going to win." Because the Supreme Court is not going to back the NCAA, no matter what happens.
Mega blast. And John wanted all this, didn't he? Yeah, John wanted it. That's right. No, pay coaches $10 million and don't give the kids anything, Mega Blast. That makes sense. Hey, make sure that the kids can't move if they have a bad situation and they don't want to be at a place. Let's make sure of that.
But you could have done that without the way it was
Mega
done.
Mega Blast. John wanted all this, but John wanted this to be done right, not the way that it's done. Not with Mark Emmert just sitting on his hands and not doing a damn thing and just letting everybody just poach players from other teams. No, there's got to be rules, and there's got to be a good way to go about it, not the way that they're going about it. You're right. I do want it, and I still want it. Not the way they're doing it, though.
But
I mean, because once again, the NCAA was toothless.
Well, but the players wanted everything they wanted right at that time, and and not just the players, like everybody in everybody in society seemed to say that they all wanted that. With no guardrails. No one was talking about guardrails. They just wanted everything.
Well, no one was talking about guardrails because people that were supposed to put the guardrails on just.
Well, they didn't know what they didn't know what NIL actually was. If you were smart at all, you didn't have to be smart. If you had any common sense, you knew that NIL was just nothing but, you know, NIL plus a free roving portal was just you were opening the door to something that you were not going to be able to control at all.
They
should have come along at a slower rate.
The NCAA rule book is bigger than the Bible, okay?
But it doesn't matter
yet,
anymore.
When they introduced NIL and the portal, they didn't even have a one sheet on it. I mean, honestly, it could not have been done worse. It could not have been done worse. So, I mean, yeah, it's a good idea. You got to do it. You got to pay the players.
Well, there's no portal anymore, John. You know that, right? There's not really a portal. The portal's a construct.
Dell already pointed out how. You just quit the team and you go somewhere else.
The portal doesn't exist, yeah. It really doesn't exist. You can play inside the portal if you want, but Miami already proved there's not really a portal. You can leave anytime you want and sign anytime you want.
John, both Johns, I guess, this was a prime example of why you wanted it. Xavier Lucas, who's now a transfer at Miami, was playing at Wisconsin. For whatever reason, Miami tampered, whatever reason, he wanted to go play at Miami after spending a year at Wisconsin. The rule is, no matter what the reason is, you have to put the kid in the portal. It doesn't matter what you think is going on. You cannot stand in his way. Wisconsin refused. We're not putting you in the portal. You signed some deal that actually wasn't enforceable yet, so we have your rights. So if you want to go someplace, try. But
which contractually you would think would make sense.
But except the deal wasn't in place yet because legislation wasn't finalized, so there were some lawyers involved. It turns out the portal exists as a database. You don't have to be in the portal to leave. In fact, the NCAA confirmed it when Miami pushed the issue. The kid transferred, He could have played the next day if there was a game. As long as he could enroll in school,
they admitted
he could have played the next day in a game.
The portal doesn't really exist.
The portal is only a database. It's not anything real.
That's all it is. And you can leave whenever you want. You can play whenever you want. Like, that's a problem. That's a major problem.
No, right. There's no rules. There's no rules. Yeah, I mean, it's stupid. It's stupid.
I mean, we wanted
to
implement it as fast as possible with no rules, and this is what we get. And so now digging out of it's going
to
be hard.
No rules, but the NCAA decided we're not doing anything because we're scared of getting sued again. That's what that was it. Getting sued by the players again. We're not going to make any rules. The players can do whatever they want because we're not going to get sued again. I mean, talk about the worst leadership ever. Mark Emmert was the worst. The worst. Time to talk about Chastain Ford, the best, as far as I'm concerned. You're looking for the best way to get that Ford car truck month at Chastain Ford. I've been talking about this, and I want you to get on over there. I want you to take a look at these 2024s because the 2025s aren't that much different. Honestly, I don't know. They'll explain it to you, Tony, the general manager over there. Maybe you'll see Patrick. You'll see whatever it is that you'll see. You're going to get the great car buying experience. It just doesn't matter who it is because the philosophy is from the top on down. All right. When you work at Chastain Ford, there's not going to be high pressure. There's not going to be we got to add on, we got to mark up. Make sure you upsell. That's not. They don't go into meetings and go, you know what, get as much as you. They just don't. But now other dealerships do that. They don't do that at Chastain Ford. It's just not what they do. It's not what they're about. They're not about adding on. They're not about marking up. They're about you getting in that vehicle the way that you want it. Well, right now, $6,500 off the 2024s, plus all the Chastain discounts as well. The Super Duties, $3,000 off with the Chastain discounts as well. I'm telling you, this is the best time. The new year, March, is the best time to get into that Ford truck. It is. It's truck month right now. Take advantage. ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.